A fracture at the heart of French far-right politics. Marine Le Pen tells party members they're free to leave after bitter personal rivalries burst back into the open. Could it give momentum to an even more radical candidate ahead of elections? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Derin Abougaida in Doha. Party defections and family infighting are threatening one of the most recognizable faces in French far-right politics. Marine Le Pen has told supporters to quit now if they want after two EU parliament politicians left the National Rally movement. And now her niece, who's popular among right-wingers, says Le Pen's rival Éric Zemmour would make a better presidential candidate. Le Pen and Zemmour are battling it out to face the current president, Emmanuel Macron, who's expected to run again in April's election.
I think once again we can switch sides, but it should be done now because we have 70 days remaining before a major event for the future of France. And having people who pretend to be here while their heart is elsewhere is unbearable. It is a total lack of dignity and respect towards all our supporters who are fighting with all their conviction, with heart, with courage, but also towards all our voters to whom we should have an attitude of loyalty.
Well, family feuds are nothing new in the Le Pen dynasty. Marine has clashed with her father, Jean-Marie, since 2011 when she took control of what was then called the National Front. 4 years later, she threw him out of the party he co-founded after he repeated false and inflammatory comments about the Holocaust. In 2017, Marine Le Pen was decisively beaten by Emmanuel Macron in the runoff presidential vote. And since then, hardliners in her party believe she's drifted too far towards the mainstream, and they prefer Éric Zemmour. This month, he was fined more than $11,000 for hate speech over remarks he made about young migrants. Let's now bring in our guest. Joining us from Paris is Nassira Ghanif, who's a sociologist and professor at the University of Paris 8. In Brussels, Peter Kleppe, editor of Brussels Report. EU, and from Saint-Malo in northwestern France, we have Jacques Roland, who's a senior research fellow at the Global Policy Institute. Welcome to Inside Story. Thanks so much for joining us. Jacques Roland, how big a political blow is it for Marine Le Pen when her niece, Marion, says that the far-right rival, Éric Zemmour, is a better candidate, describing her aunt as lacking logic and vision?
Yeah, it's a big blow to Marine Le Pen. Definitely, because it shows that many people think that Marine Le Pen has no chance of winning this election. And because it's the third time she's been a candidate, that she has no future. And already we can see that some of the senior members, not many at the moment, but many are thinking, not many have declared themselves, are moving towards Zemmour, who think is a better prospect for the future. Because many people on the far right have integrated the fact that they will not win this election and that Macron is probably going to win it, and that after that it's time that it will need to a total recomposition of the political landscape after that, and they want to position themselves in order to create a big far-right party, including members of the Front National and the Reconquest movement of Éric Zemmour. And you can think even that they can see at their next potential leader, at their next candidate in 2027, that they're thinking of Marion Maréchal Le Pen. She's kind of already started. We can feel that the plates are moving and that they're thinking more. They think the game is up for this election. Okay. And they're thinking more of what after.
Okay, let's put some of these thoughts to Peter over in Brussels. So do you agree that Le Pen is losing some of her voter base to other candidates like Zemmour? I mean, the latest polling that I've seen, at least, is that Zemmour is polling right now at 11.5%.
Well, absolutely. And he has been polling higher before. The thing is, he still has not officially declared. He still needs to secure the support of 500 mayors, the signatures, actually. And that's still taking a bit. He's confident he will get them. I'm not sure how certain that is, but that's an important factor. Now, I think the big difference between Le Pen and Zemmour is mostly actually on the economics. Le Pen has managed to convince the old left-wing electorate, for example, in the what they call the Rust Belt in the north of France, in Roubaix, for example. Whereas Zemmour is somebody who's more popular among the center-right, whose economic discourse is more in favor of free market policies. Not always. He can be protectionist as well. He's French, after all. But I think that's a big difference. And that's also the reason why some people believe that he has a better chance than Le Pen, because they think he's able to also reach out to some center-right voters. So if it would be a runoff to Macron, I don't think he's completely without a chance, actually, because of that.
Okay. Nasira, over to you. I mean, this infighting within Marine Le Pen's party is nothing really new, as we've been saying. But how does it impact her chances in the upcoming election?
Well, first of all, I would like to maybe reframe the conversation we are having. We're not so much talking about, you know, the business as usual about elections in France. We are speaking of the overcome of fascism in France,
which is much more. You're absolutely right, and that is what we are going to get into. But first, I just wanted to get your take on how this impacts the election.
So I think that it doesn't really impact. What it impacts is the future of Marion Maréchal Le Pen. I think she's already playing the next game, which is 2027, as in this is what I told to your journalist when we spoke. And because of that, she knows that she'd better play the Zemmour card than her aunt's card, because her aunt doesn't have much of a chance to get to the second round.
Okay, and now on to your important point that you raised, and that is the rise of far right parties in France, Nasira. How strong is in France is the right-wing political movement?
I think it has always been, and it's about time that we stop calling them extreme right or far right. It's a fascism that never really disappeared from the French political scene. It was there as strong as it was since the end of the 19th century. It had come back through the Le Pen father, Jean-Marie Le Pen. And interestingly, since the 1984, since he started to win elections, there was this way of euphemizing his position, his presence, by not mentioning that this has to do with the long history of fascism in France. So what's so concerning right now is the fact that this has become completely accepted, completely accommodated in the French political spectrum, and nobody really wants to measure and to weigh the real influence and the real danger that this entails for the French society in the decades to come.
Jacques Roland, a third of the electorate are saying that they are planning to vote for a far-right candidate. How do you explain the rise of the far-right, and what do you put it down to?
Well, it's been coming for quite a while, as Nasira said.
So why has it made such a comeback now?
The comeback has been there already, even before that. You had a far right, let's say, with Marine Le Pen at close to 20%. But within the Republicans, there was a very strong strong brand also, who have three obsessions, you know, insecurity, immigration, and Islam. This trend has been present in the government right among the Republicans, highlighted by someone like Eric Ciotti, who came second in the vote to choose the candidate behind Valérie Pécresse. So this hard right brand, close to the far right, to the National Front, has been there for many years. Don't forget that the campaign of Chirac in 2002 was based on that, and that's what brought Le Pen to the second round, much to everyone's surprise, that limited Jospin. So this thing is there, and that's why what's happening at the moment is quite interesting. If Macron was to win the next election, he seems to be in a fairly good position, but it's not done. Eh? We'll have to wait 70 days for the first round. Then the right will have to ask the Republican, could be in big problem and could explode, because we can see at the moment within the Republican movement, you have two brands, and one is quite tempted to ally with the far right, with people like Zemmour and Marine Le Pen. Up to now, there's been what they call a cordon sanitaire, a sanitary cord, a wall between the two. But now we think that this wall is becoming becoming thinner and thinner, and that many people, and that's why the Zemmour project is there. Zemmour, in his meetings, doesn't talk about the election so much as the recomposition of the right. He wants to have a kind of shameless right, which includes people from his camp and from Marine Le Pen, and many people coming from the right of the Republican Party. So that's what is at stake at the moment, the future of the right, and could we have a bigger a fusion between many Republicans and the right, while the soft Republicans would probably be tempted to go more towards Macron. So it's the continuation of the kind of wrecking ball that Macron launched in 2017. He's already smashed the left, smashed the right in part, but it is a progress, it is a process which is carrying on and which puts an end to what we've known in the Fifth Republic, the left-right divide.
Right.
Could now lead to more far-right,
okay.
Center-right,
let's get Peter's
center-left,
take on, let's
far-left
get Peter's
divide.
Take on this, and specifically on someone like Eric Zemmour, who, as you are very well aware, described by some as the Donald Trump of France. I mean, is it that his ideas appeal to a part of the electorate, Peter, or are people then fed up with the status quo?
Well, I do think he's innovative in the sense that he has a sort of different take compared to Marine Le Pen. First of all, a very important thing about Zemmour is that he's an immigrant himself. He's a Jewish immigrant from Algeria. Who is, you could say, perfectly assimilated in France. And I think this is important to understand his program, because what he's really keen for is to tackle these kind of parallel societies that you have not only in France, but in many, many European countries. And I think that that's a problem that many people from the left to the right recognize as an issue. Now, the solution for that, according to Zemmour, is, let's say, the traditional approach of the French state, which you could argue in some respects is quite authoritarian. I think it's too easy to brand it as fascist. It's not a precise label. I think he makes some good points also from a civil rights perspective. For example, he wants to strengthen the property rights of people that are the victim of squatters. But indeed, in some respects, you could argue that he goes too far. For example, he has proposed that people would no longer...
He certainly has made quite radical comments, Peter.
Yes. So, for example, an example that's often cited is that he wants it to be illegal to give your child a name that is not on an approved list, a first name. So he would allow people to keep their surname to be able to refer to their roots, but to adopt, to force them to adopt a French name, a French first name, in order to stimulate assimilation. Now, I mean, I think you can put very big question marks with that proposal, even if that was already law in France before, until the early 90s, even. And in some other countries, you have similar regulations. So that's indeed, I think, problematic. I think he has this typical deep belief in the power of the state to promote things like assimilation, which I think is a goal that many people agree with, but that it's perhaps naive to think that with the power of the state, you can achieve that. I mean, the reason for the lack of integration of migrants, not only in France, but in many European societies. I mean, this goes much more deep than
right.
Simply the lack of state action.
Okay,
but Zemmour is at least...
Let me just bring in Nasita, because Nasira, excuse me, I did see you shaking your head as Peter was speaking. Go ahead.
Yeah, I completely disapprove with everything that has been said. And actually, I think it's a very good example of how accommodating Zemmour into the field of politics is being done just before I spoke. I mean, saying that, you know, he's having this quite acceptable proposals and that this is not fascism. Of course it is. And fascism has been elected time and again, not only in the US a few years ago, but also in Germany and elsewhere. So how can you say this is not fascism? And the fact that he would say that Muslims is not any random first names that are supposed to be banned from France, is Muslim first names. So the fact that he's not an immigrant, by the way, if I may just suggest that, he was part of the repatriation of French Jews from Algeria at the end of the Algerian War for independence, an anti-colonial war. So Éric Zemmour knows exactly what it means to have a Christian first name, because this was imposed on his community, the Jews, so that they can be assimilated to the anti-Semitic European frame. So, I mean, you know, this is quite strange that you would just say that he's having good ideas.
But here's the thing, Nasira. I mean, according, let me just put this to you.
Excuse me, just let me finish, because these two men have spoken very long.
Sure, okay, go ahead.
Yes, please. So what I want to say is that Zemmour is bending the reality to his own purpose and to his own goals. He's not trying to be constructive in any way in a society that is multicultural, which he refuses to admit, which is also very open to many different kind of religions and experiences and culture. And this is working much better than you would think.
But there's allow no me for a moment, Nasira. Okay, we've heard you. Allow me. Just allow me for a moment. Let me put this to you. I mean, let's just... If we just don't focus on Zemmour, but focus, in fact, on a lot of the candidates who have promised to take tough lines on immigration and security in France. This is according to an Ipsos poll. A majority of people say they don't feel at home like they used to, 62%. There are too many immigrants, 64% of people felt like, and there is a need for a strong leader to reestablish law and order, Nasira. So this is the general feeling amongst some people who have been polled in France.
Yes, that's interesting that they would want to appeal to a more ordered society. In the past years, most of the disorder that has happened during the mandate and the term of Emmanuel Macron were due to reforms that are neoliberal, such as the reforms for changes for retirement and the yellow vests. These are not immigrants that were on the street fighting for their rights. And this is where the state has struck very hard on them in order to prevent them from expressing their rights. So if this is disorder, then it's disorder that is being brought by neoliberalism and not by immigration.
Okay.
So if they are against immigration, this is a general trend in Europe. It's not specific to French people. And this is something that is being opposed by all international organizations such as the United Nations, the European Tribunal for Rights. Everybody is asking why France is acting so harshly on immigrants. So now we are at the crossroads in order to understand whether France becomes this more and more racist and xenophobic society, which exceptionalism is about, or if we are to move to a more open society.
Okay, numbers, and I'm glad you brought up Europe
when it comes to a new election.
Thank you for bringing up Europe, because let me put that to Peter. Peter, if we look at the possible scenarios going forward, and let's say, of course, President Macron himself hasn't announced his official candidacy, but should he win a second term, when it comes to France's relations with the EU, what will we see under a Macron presidency? More of the same?
Well, yeah. So if Macron gets elected, he's, of course, let's say, the most pro-European of all the candidates. I think he's going to try to consolidate some of the initiatives that have happened under his watch. For example, the EU Recovery Fund. So more centralization of power. Maybe he's going to try to have a pan-European election law with pan-European election lists. If Zemmour or Le Pen would be elected, then it would be different. But I think in both cases, they have already, at least in the case of Le Pen, dramatically watered down. Le Pen used to be against the euro. She is no longer de facto. Zemmour has also made clear, as far as I could figure out, because he it's still early days to know what he exactly wants. He has sort of pledged not to deal too much with the EU. So even with Zemmour, I think, he would definitely block more centralization of power at the EU level. But I don't think he's going to focus all that much on the EU. He's going to focus his efforts and policies domestically on the issue of integration of migrants, which is his number one political issue.
Jacques Roland, in your opinion, if you look at an Eric Zemmour presidency, for example, I mean, just to add on what Peter was saying, he said that he will not advocate for Frexit. He'll try to renegotiate the Schengen Agreement. But if necessary, he says he'll withdraw from the European Commission Convention, on human rights. That's according to reports. I mean, is this something that's going to appeal to voters in France?
No. Yeah, we are here. We're talking about fiction politics. Zemmour will not be the next president of France, nor will Marine Le Pen. That is a fact. I can tell you now that they have no chance whatsoever. The only one who has a chance of beating Emmanuel Macron is Valérie Pécresse, okay? And Valérie Pécresse is doing a balancing act between Ciotti and appealing also, making a speech about immigration, Islam, insecurity.
She's polling as high as Marine Le Pen right now.
She's very pro.
She's polling as high as Marine Le Pen right now.
Yeah, the big deal now. You know, for this election, what matters is who is going to come second after Macron. Macron will come first in the first round. Now, the game is about who comes second. Will it be Marine? Zemmour will not come second. I can tell you that. So now the game is between Marine Le Pen and Valérie Pécresse.
Okay.
It's in the interest of Valérie Pécresse that Zemmour polls as high as possible because it will take voters off Marine Le Pen, which is not actually quite the case at the moment. Marine Le Pen is fairly stable at about 18%, with Valérie Pécresse at 16.5%. So,
okay, let me just bring in Nasira for a final word because we've run out of time. Nasira, a final word to you. Are you optimistic about the future of French politics?
No, I'm not really optimistic, especially if we keep on accommodating the reality of racism leading the ideas and the agendas of our politicians in France. I think we are in a very bad shape, and probably for not only this election, but if it moves on to the far right and to the fascist ideas that can be accommodated, then it might be also be a very hard time in 2027.
Okay, I'll leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us, Nasira Guenif, Peter Kleppe, and Jacques Roland. We thank you for your time. Thank you for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. For further discussion, you can go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJ Inside Story. You can join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is AJ Inside Story. For myself and the whole team here in Doha, thanks for watching, and bye-bye for now.